Momentum Men is brought to you by ReUp, the creators of resources to disciple men like Jesus did, educating, encouraging, and empowering men to grow in Christ and disciple others, featuring a platform filled with men's Bible studies for individuals or groups. Men, living by His life. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. ReUp, proud sponsor of Momentum Australia.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
If one person forces the other person to do something against their will, then that is an unsafe or unhealthy boundary. Because when someone is forced to do something against their will and against their idea, and you can't use the card, well, you're my wife or you're my husband, you need to do this, then that's not a healthy relationship.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
Okay, well, welcome to this week's Momentum. Tim and Des with you once again all around Australia. And look, wherever you may be tuning in right now, really appreciate having your listening ear and maybe your watching eye as well, if you're watching us on YouTube, which is a brand new thing. But I encourage you to check out the channel. And look, if you prefer the visual medium, that's cool. You can get to see Des and I. Again, we're not sure if that's a bonus or benefit or not, but perhaps a bit more engaging than just listening to us. But Des, how are you, my friend and co-host? Are you well this week?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
That's great.
This is a great topic that we're going to be talking about today, which is really good. But let me just say, MomentumAustralia.org is our website. Lots of feedback, lots of questions on there. Podcasts are all on there. Please have a look at that. Look and see. There's lots of information that will help you on your journey. And also don't forget the Momentum Caroline brought to us by our friends at Caroline Connections. And that's 1-800-000-MEN-636, easy for guys to remember, which is really cool. But also our YouTube channel, and it's been going now for a few months, and it's Momentum for Men. So it's Momentum_for_men within YouTube, and you'll find all our, I think it's, 12, 13, 14 videos up there already. So that's really good. So to answer your question, yeah, I'm really good.
That's great. And just to clarify, I don't think you'll find too many questions on our website, Des, but if you want to give a question, pose a question to us about something that's happening in your life, by all means, get in touch.
And also, there's lots of feedback as well on our website of people who have given us feedback.
And look, the idea that we exist to help you out on your journey. That's what Momentum is all about. And if we can't help you, we can try and get you in touch and put you in touch with somebody who can. And look, our special guest again this week is somebody that we often refer to at Momentum because he's just got an absolute wealth of stuff when it comes to relationships and families and doing life better in general. The CEO of Focus on the Family Australia, Brett Ryan, is back with us this week. Welcome back to Momentum, Brett.
It's a pleasure being with you once again.
So we chatted about boundaries, and look, we all concluded at the end of that session that we probably needed a second show. So here we are again. And as we mentioned before, we are unpacking your new ebook, Understanding Healthy Boundaries, which is online at your website. That's families.org.au.
And it's free. Don't forget, it's free.
Free ebook, Understanding Healthy Boundaries, families.org.au. So Brett, let's launch back in. We did talk about in the first show a bit about what boundaries are and that sort of thing and why it's important to have them. I don't think we necessarily need to unpack that again, but let's talk about some of the reasons we don't put in boundaries, and then we're going to look at how we can do this with different parts of our life. And we did kind of talk about that, but I think it's important for us because often the we don't, as people, put in boundaries for fear of repercussions or what that might mean, or breaking a relationship or causing tension in my family or my marriage or whatever it be. So we kind of let things slide, which then causes actually more problems than if we'd put a boundary in place in the first place. So I suppose let's speak into that space, because a lot of us might be even consciously not putting in boundaries because we're afraid of the repercussions.
Yeah, very much so. And I think what we're talking about, what values are, what we're responsible for and what we're not responsible for. And unfortunately, people have been placed in situations where the happiness of the other person has been weighed too heavily on you as a person. So then we don't put those boundaries in place because we're fear of the repercussions or fear of letting down them, the expectations of an aging parent, for example, can be placed an enormous amount of pressure. And so it's not just in marriage, but it's also in life in general. So we have to know what we are able to, what is practical, what is not practical. And then once we do that, once we have the power to make those decisions, then it gives gives us the freedom to make the choice. But when it's enforced upon us, when it's layered upon us to do something, to fix, to solve the issue, then that is not healthy. When we do something or say something, it's out of love, not necessarily of sacrifice. Now, I talk about we do things sacrificially, but to do things at a sacrifice can lead to resentment and to lead to bitterness. And that's not healthy for you. And it's not healthy for the other person because they're going to know you're not going to do something. I remember there was a Steve Martin movie and he was asked to do something. I think it was in the Father of the Bride. And he goes, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't want to do it. Yeah. You know, like, because he was really doing something out of, you know, like because he was forced to do something. And that's not what we want to do. We want to be able to make the choices ourselves. And then out of that, we can say, hey, I'm happy to help because I want to do it out of love. And that should be our primary source of motivation, not out of spite or out of willingness or out of fear. It's want to be out of love. But then the other side of things is we have to work out why we don't like people putting boundaries on ourselves. You know, if you're looking from a kid, you know, a kid doesn't like boundaries and they'll try and push the boundaries. Yeah. They do it with their siblings. They push boundaries so they can get a reaction, you know, because they love doing it. And the same thing with kids. I like to push the boundaries. I want to see how far they can get away with something before there are consequences. And we don't like it because it feels like we're out of control. It feels like someone's making decisions. And when we lose that power, we don't like it because we actually grow up with a feeling of entitlement. The world revolves around me as a child. And then if we have that same mentality going into adulthood, then we're going to feel like our spouse has to serve me and do everything that I want to do. And we need to know that the world doesn't work around that. We're not a solar system in ourselves. We don't have to have everyone revolving around us. We are there to serve one another. And that's what we need to do when we have healthy boundaries, not unhealthy boundaries.
It's interesting. Just reminded of some friends of mine who have got elderly parents that have been, you know, going into retirement home and that sort of thing. And the demands that they put on their children is huge, right? Yeah. And that's the exact point where you need to bring in the boundaries. So when I get a few years older and I'm in a nursing home, you know, I have to be careful about the boundaries I put in place.
Let's get some boundaries in place nowadays while you've got your faculties.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why having healthy relationships, everything comes out of relationship. Yeah, and to maintain a relationship, it means that there's communication. And so in a situation where the parents in their elderly years are forcing it upon them because of, and they might have guilt them into it, you don't want to have that type of situation. So we want to have a healthy relationship. And as you've said, you know, you want to get a situation where, you know, have a healthy relationship because your kids get to maybe choose which nursing home you go into.
That's right.
And so you want to make sure that they have a good one.
That's good.
So just off the back of what you were saying there, let's leave the nursing home bit just before that, Brett.
Go back a few years.
You and I'll get together at the end of the show and we'll choose a nursing home for days. That's another story. But no, look, and I thought it was important to understand, right, because let's say that we have overstepped a boundary in someone and they've made it clear, right, that we've overstepped their boundary. Obviously, our response to that is crucial, right? So that's the first thing. That's the first thing I want to say. But also then when a boundary for us gets overstepped, how do we best communicate that? So the two parts of that are then, right, so let's start with I've overstepped. Somebody's told me or come to me and said, actually, that made me feel whatever. What's a preferred mature response in that instance?
Well, I'll make the statement first. If someone takes issue with your boundaries, if someone takes issue with it and they sort of fight you on it, I would say that's a red flag. You have to be aware that if someone's taking issue, because a healthy relationship means that I respect that. I'm going to honor what you say, and I'm so sorry that I've done that to you. Then it's a healthy relationship. But if they start, you're just overreacting, you're making me do something I don't want to do, they're actually not emotionally or relationally mature. And so that will be the red flag. But what do you do when someone happens? Well, the first thing is, if someone says, I don't like what you're telling me to do, I don't like that boundary, maybe our relational thing saying, well, I'll give in a little bit. Can I encourage people not to give in until you've actually had your own, I'll use the word line in the sand, to actually say, This is my I'm gonna stick to my guns. This is my position, and I'm going to follow it through because I need to make sure that I'm feeling safe. Now, it's not a dogmatic approach. Please hear me when I say that. It's not saying I'm going to do this despite that. You want to have dialogue, not a monologue. You want to be able to have this conversation with them to do that. Acknowledge with the person that it may be uncomfortable for them. Maybe make it so I can actually acknowledge that this might make you mad or this might make you sad. This might make you angry. But these boundaries are important to me. This is my body, or this is for my mental health and well-being. I need to place these things. That's not being abusive. That's not being dogmatic. It's actually saying, I acknowledge that this may be uncomfortable for you, but I'm going to still stick to my what I'm going to be having to do, follow this through. And acknowledge that it may be offensive, but we don't want to do something that's offensive in the sense that I'm going to do it despite you, you know, because that's not healthy. But we don't want to be put into the situation out of fear of hurting somebody or making a decision or following it through because someone may be angry or maybe someone who's not going to be our friend for us. Again, that's a red flag with a relationship. And I think it's important to use the word I language rather than you language, meaning that I'm doing this for myself. If we start pointing the finger at the other person, you, it's actually more attacking, more aggressive.
So
we're talking about I. This is what it's good for me. This is my decision. And if we can stay calm in the disagreement, I haven't shared this with you before, but I always have this learn to respond, not react. In a situation where you hear the other person, I hear what you're saying. I understand it may be frustrating. I'm responding appropriately with my tone, my volume. But if I react and the other person reacts, then we both start yelling. No one wins there. So we need to know that there are different boundaries for different settings, and we have to be very mindful of where those boundaries are put into place and when they're not. But I think it's important, as best you can, keep the peace. Do it in a calm manner, but also acknowledge where the other person may be coming from, but not be dismissive of their feelings and emotions. But I do think it's really important that you need to know what you're responsible for, what your values are, and what the other person does with them. It's out of your control, and you can't control everyone's opinions or reactions.
So would you say, what if somebody is aggressive? And you want to have this discussion, you want to find the, you know, compromise and so forth, but the other person is, you know, aggressive, they don't want to move, they don't want to change. Do you walk away from that and say, hey, look, we'll need to revisit this another time when we're both calm?
Yeah, and I do say, but don't just leave the environment and without saying something.
Right.
I will say the same thing that I've said and shared another time. I think we had a conversation about in conflict, when there is conflict, you know, and I would call it intense fellowship, you know, like, and when there's that intense fellowship or conflict with another person, you say, look, I need to remove myself for a time to get my emotions right. And then we can have this discussion when we're both level-headed and we've had time to process. But you don't want to fight fire with fire, and you don't want to leave in an aggressive manner because that's not great either. But when, if someone ever becomes angry with you and it react poorly, you can say, I again, using that I language, is like, I don't appreciate being yelled at. I don't deserve to be yelled at. When you have got something more civilized to say to me or in a calmer frame of mind, I'm happy to have that conversation. But I do not deserve to be yelled at. It's taking the onus away from you because you can't control somebody. No. You can't have the idea that he made me angry. You know, like you're in control of that. And the same thing, you can't control another person. It's called the law of responsibility, relational responsibility. It's that you're in control of your emotions, your values, your belief systems. You can influence somebody else, but you cannot control them. And that's a really, really important thing to for any of listeners to know what you are and what you are not responsible for.
Mm. That's really powerful. Let's end the first part of the show on that. You can influence somebody else, but you can't control them. We are talking boundaries once again this week with CEO of Focus on the Family Australia, Brett Ryan. And this is coming off the back of their brand new ebook, Understanding Healthy Boundaries, which is a free resource available on their website, families.org.au. We're going to come back and talk with Brett some more about boundaries in the second part of the show right here on Momentum. Stay tuned.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Welcome back to Momentum, part two of the second show with our special guest CEO of Focus on the Family Australia, Brett Ryan. And it's another show on boundaries, again, coming off the back of their brand new ebook, Understanding Healthy Boundaries, which is online at their website, families.org.au. And look, there's been so much in the last show and a bit that we would certainly encourage you to go back and have a listen and grab a pen and paper and jot some of this stuff down and certainly start implementing in your life if you haven't already. A good reminder and refresher for all of us about boundaries in our relationships. But, you know, Brett, we have talked about the fact that different parts of our life need boundaries. And so we're going to unpack some of that now for our listeners in the second part of the show, because it's going to look similar but slightly different in different areas of our lives too. So I suppose let's start with our spouse, our marriage, because that's a biggie for a lot of us. And that can have a knock-on effect then on our kids and those sorts of things. So let's start with the marriage and the spouse. What might some healthy boundaries look like within the marriage context?
Well, I think it's important to actually identify that you as an individual are an individual. you marry and you have your own safe space, and then you get married and the other person has their own safe space, and then we come together. And we also have to know that when we come together, initially we're on our best behavior, and so we may not be necessarily our true self. But when we come together in like another little area, that interaction is safe, that both parties feel good about the relationship, both parties are understanding, can listen to validate, to share their opinions, their hurts, their highs, their lows. Other person is going to be their number one cheerleader, which earns them the right to be the number one critic. And that's a boundary that's good. Is actually a really worthwhile. And so that's in that relationship. And then when it comes to physical intimacy, then we have to be in discussion that both are in agreement and both feel good about it. If one person forces the other person to do something against their will, then that is an unsafe or unhealthy boundary. Because when someone is forced to do something against their will and against their idea, and you can't use the card, well, you're my wife or you're my husband, you need to do this, then that's not a healthy relationship. So that's where it starts. And if we can get that healthy dynamic working with our spouse, with communication, with sharing opinions, and it doesn't necessarily mean to have to be in great conversation. We shouldn't have to walk around the room walking on eggshells for fear that the room is not tidy enough or not clean enough and someone explodes. Though that's also not healthy in a relationship. So I think it's really important that both parties are actually in agreement and not in a situation where we have to say yes sir, no ma'am, all the time. That means we're robotic. We want to be able to have difference of opinion and share our thoughts in a way that's not going to get the other person to overreact or make us feel inferior in any way.
So if you've got a husband and wife, and the wife is particularly tidy and wants the house spotlessly clean, and the guy is a tradesman, and he comes in and he takes his dirty boots off and his overalls off and leaves it sitting in the lounge room, where's the boundaries? How do you set boundaries in that space?
That's actually disrespecting your wife's value system. It's actually saying, because the house, and I'll use this, is an extension of who she is. And the same thing, and so if you're saying, it doesn't matter, and that may be you've been brought up in a household that it didn't really matter, but for her it does matter, then you need to come to an understanding. And we said that with our boys, that the house, when they were growing up, is an extension of mum. And if you love mum and you want to respect mum, you want to keep it as tidy as possible. Now, we have to also say, if you're the perfectionists listening to this, and they will never clean or they'll never do it as well or as quick as you, doesn't mean that they're not trying. It just means that it's not up to your standard. So you have to have some reasonable expectations. But I do think it's reasonable that if your wife is wanting to have the house clean and tidy, then I think as a show of respect, it may not matter to you, but it matters to them.
Yes,
and good. To abide by her value systems and her belief systems is to actually adhere as much as possible, not be dismissive.
That's good.
Now, one thing that can certainly cause friction in a marriage, and you talked about family of origin, Brett, earlier in the show, is how we're brought up, but how we bring up our kids, right? Parenting. So let's step into that space because, I mean, again, how we bring up our kids and then what boundaries we put in with our kids can certainly be contentious between couples.
Yeah, and we might have grown up with the idea, I'll never be like my father, I'll never be like my mother and say those type of statements. But unless we make an intentional decision to do things differently, then you tend to default to the things that you're familiar with.
Yes, that's true.
So, and the other side of things you have to be very mindful of, you come from two different tribes and there's maybe a difference of opinion on how parenting. And I would say in the last 12 months, I've had numerous people coming up to me and saying, this is the different parenting styles has caused so much friction in our relationship. It's actually becoming dysfunctional. Because of difference of opinions, because you're not hearing the other person. Going back to that thing, you want to be able to hear the other person. Now, it doesn't mean that one's right and wrong. It's just different. There is a wrong when someone is abusive, that's definitely wrong. But if someone's, you know, I think we have to sort of narrow the gap between, you don't want to have the good cop, bad cop scenario when it comes to boundaries. You want to narrow that gap. So the kids will do far better and thrive when mum and dad are in alignment, when they're in at least close to agreement as possible, because otherwise I'll play one off the other and say, well, mum says this or dad says this, I get away with this, and that should never happen. You should be in a united front. And when it comes to parenting, you know, you might be, one has to become more strict and not be and be less permissive, and the other one might be has to be less strict and a little bit more permissive, and get that balance right for, as an example.
And that's so hard, particularly with step parents and stepchildren. It really takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I mean that's a whole other topic to talk about step parenting. And I've actually got a free video on this on step parenting and blended families. If anyone would like to have that, it's on our via our website and on our FamilyCast platform, and it's for free. Again, a great business model. I give everything away for free, and to be a blessing to more people. But to how to handle that? Because on a side note, is biological parents are always going to be the parent. And a step-parent is always going to be the step-parent. And that might seem very obvious, but a step-parent can never overshadow the biological parent. And so I would say you need to become more the friendly uncle or the friendly aunt more than the I'm a parent, but it's the biological parent will have more of a say. But when it comes to just biological parents, if you're two together, is you have to be more their parent, less their friend. But when it comes to step-parenting, you have to be more their friend and less the parent.
That's good. Great. I love that. I love that analysis. That's good. That's really good.
Brett, let's come back to then the marriage. These are our kids. Tell us then about the journey and the transition of boundaries that needs to happen as our kids get older. Because, you know, when they're young, boundaries need to be pretty firm. Then we start loosening the boundaries during the teenage years. And then when they're adult kids, that's a whole other story. But let's stick with the transition then from kids to teenage-dom for our kids. How do we balance that, letting loose some of those boundaries as our kids get older?
It comes out of some key words, and these are in no priority order, out of their maturity. Some kids are very mature at a younger age and other people have to be very old and they're still not very mature. So maturity is an aspect. Trust is a very big one for children. You know, once trust has been broken, it's very hard to earn that and kids want to be trusted. And as they are maturing, as you can trust them, then the boundaries can move. But there are some boundaries that shouldn't move because otherwise, if we're talking it from a biblical point of view, God's boundaries don't move. And if you keep on giving into the boundaries, they're going to try them with God, and God's boundaries don't move. So we need to be firm on some boundaries, the way that we talk to one another, the way that we show respect to one another, the way that we honor one another. They are immovable boundaries. But if you want to give them freedom about how they can choose what clothes to wear, you know, that's, you know, within reason, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, who they can go out with. Again, you can't control everything when they're younger. It's fantastic. You know what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, who they're going to be with. But as they're maturing, as they're going into young adulthood, you've got to give them some freedom to learn to let go and let God take them, because God loves your kids more than you will ever love them. And as they're going through those things, it means that you're actually saying, I'm setting you up for success. I want you to become a self-sufficient, able to serve their community, able to run a household. So that's what you want to prepare them for, the realities of this world. But if you are keeping them in bubble wrap, and they're not allowed to make any decisions, not allowed to trust them with anything, then you're not setting them up for the realities of the world. And they might actually rebel. They do the opposite that you want to do. So it's all out of relationship, all out of trust, and allowing them to make their own choices, even though they may not agree with them, and even though they're things that may be against what you think would be best for them. Sometimes we have to allow them to go through the school of hard knocks and actually make choices, and they have to face the natural consequences of those choices, but you'll always be there to pick up the pieces if they needed to.
It's really good.
We were talking earlier, we mentioned adult children, and you know, it's so difficult to have to maintain a relationship at which it, because it has to change, right, with adult children. What's your advice to parents and or adult children?
Well, that's a big topic in itself. But in summary, I would say that if they've left the roof under your roof, then they are adults and they are responsible for themselves. Still maintain a relationship, but they're going to have to make their own financial choices. They're going to make their own relational choices. They're going to be responsible for their own occupational choices. They've left and they've become their adult themselves. But I will put a disclaimer. We've actually seen about 10% of young adults who left home are now returning because of financial situations. Yeah. And many are returning with their spouse or their family, and you're actually having an empty nest now being full of people. So it's really important to establish those boundaries, what you will accept and what you won't accept. I'll use the example about your value systems. If your son or your daughter has left home, but they want to come back with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you don't believe in premarital sex, then the other person, for example, you say, look, that person's welcome, but you have to sleep in separate rooms, because this is our value systems. This is our belief systems. Yeah. That's reasonable. If they want to be adults, they have to act like adults. And therefore, in our household, if you're coming to live here, you are either going to contribute financially, you're going to contribute to the cooking, the cleaning. This is adult life. You have to take responsibility. You don't want to come back and create like an Airbnb or a bed and breakfast environment that you do everything for them. You're actually doing them a disservice by doing that for them. And you're not showing true love doing everything for them. And for the young adult who may be listening to this, you have to take responsibility and contribute to the house, either financially or practically. And if your parents say some things, you can't control what your adult children are doing, or young adult children are doing, but you can have influence, and that comes out of relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on.
One more thing before we wrap up for the show, Brett, we haven't talked about work boundaries. Maybe that can be another show in itself, but let's talk quickly about family boundaries. And we're talking, I suppose, extended family now, not just marriage and kids, but families and family get-togethers. Of course, we've just had them over Christmas, New Year, that sort of thing. And for some people, that will be a really horrific time trying to navigate some of those internal family relationships and keep healthy boundaries and all of that sort of stuff. Some thoughts then around families generically, and particularly the get-togethers that happen throughout the year, whether it's Easter, you know, Christmas again and other things. How do we put those and keep those things in place? Because again, these are our family, right? We don't want to burn the relationships, but neither do we want to feel like we get treated a certain way just because they're family.
Well, family get-togethers, as you're so rightly put, it can be a really happy time and really worthwhile, and everyone loves each other and gets along with each other. But there's a lot of people, it can be quite toxic and unhealthy. And so I think it's going back to what is in your control. So you have to find out, you can control how much time you spend with the person, for how long, or for example, how much money you will spend on gifts, how much time you need to either prepare for food. You know, all these things, you are in control. So we need to put those boundaries in place and then fast forward a little bit, going with the idea of planning for unexpected. There'll be something that will go wrong in a situation. So I would say if there's been some tension or some intense fellowship prior, maybe if you're coming to a family get-together, be proactive. Give them a phone call. Let's talk about this before, because we don't want to spoil it for others, and it won't be great for us if there's, you know, let's clear the air earlier rather than at the time. Another thing you might want to know is let's prepare ourselves psychologically and physiologically. So good food, good sleep, good self-care. So you're actually in your good mental health as you're going into it, but making sure that, you know, ask yourself the question, why am I going to this function? What is the number one reason why I'm going? Am I doing it out of obligation or out of necessity? That's not a great way to be. So check yourself. Then maybe going into, are there other safe people in this environment? Are there people who are going to be like-minded that will support me in this? And then finally is, you know, there's a difference. I mentioned it earlier about you have to define the difference about unsafe or is it just awkward? You know, that's a little bit different. Is it just a little bit of a disagreement, or is it unsafe? And now I've been to family functions where someone's an anti-vaxxer, for example, and then they give their thing. That's not unsafe. It's just a difference of opinion. And we can have a civilized conversation, for example, or if someone has a different thought process, that is just not, it's not defined as unsafe. It's just a little bit awkward, a little bit of a disagreement, but it's certainly not toxic. And so we have to establish ourselves, why do we feel like this is not a great place to be? But go in psychologically, mentally, as best you can with a good self-care, find out, you know, why you're doing something, but you are in control. You don't have to stay there forever. You don't have to, you know, do everything for everyone, and go in with a very open mind. And that will actually help you, and it'll also make the environment healthier for everyone as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of great advice in that, just alone, let alone the last 30 minutes that we've been talking with Brett Ryan from Folks on the Family Australia. And it's all been off their new ebook, Understanding Healthy Boundaries, which you can find online and free at their website, families.org.au. Brett, always an amazing chat with you. There's a lot in that, and appreciate your time on Momentum. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, and look forward to the next time.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.